As healthcare providers prepare for the potential spread of the coronavirus, they hope to learn from previous pandemics. Kathy Coverston Anderson, Assistant Director for the McLean County Health Department, says the best comparison for the coronavirus is only a decade old. She tells Eric Stock, we've come a long way since H1N1.
H1N1 in particular is a good respiratory infection. It was influenza. To compare COVID-19 with the similarities back in 2009 to 2010 include a public health emergency was declared for both H1N1 and COVID-19. There was initially no vaccine available. There were high-risk groups identified. Our key responses were, first of all, to control transmission and let the public know about how they could protect themselves, to identify cases and possible contacts and monitor them for symptoms. We had to clarify how face masks are used or not to be used. And we had great community partners then, and we still have those now.
Were we prepared going into H1N1 in 2009 as we are today for coronavirus?
I think we are better prepared today because we have a 10-year history of working together, not just on H1N1, but on other emerging infectious diseases such as Ebola, the Sole virus, SARS, MERS, and Zika. So we have several different, and even locally, we had two mumps outbreaks. So we've had plenty of opportunities to work together to hone our preparedness and response skills.
And so what were the primary differences between COVID-19 and those previous pandemics?
With H1N1 in particular, that was an influenza, and there is a set process for how to make a vaccine for that, and we know it takes about 6 months. For coronavirus, we don't know how long it's going to take. And so we've been told by the CDC that it could take up to a year, and so we have to be prepared to provide non-pharmaceutical interventions, such as social distancing, for that year period. We, like there, back into H1N1, when a vaccine is available, there were high-risk groups that were identified, and we had to target the vaccine for those high-risk groups. And we have to be prepared to do that for when a coronavirus vaccine is available as well.
If you could define the high-risk groups, are they similar to those with seasonal influenza?
Somewhat. For COVID-19, it's our older population in particular appears to be most at risk, and particularly those who have underlying medical conditions. So, and that's similar to H1N1. In H1N1, they were also targeting pregnant women, for example. And back then, we had effective antiviral medications to treat H1N1, and we don't have that yet for COVID-19 as well. So that's another difference. In addition, we had, social media was not in great use at that point. There weren't even smartphones readily available to the public. So we didn't have, the general public didn't have information right at their fingertips like we do now. And so that's a big difference. We have a great new public health tool in social media to counter rumors as well as to give accurate information.
And how much has medical science and technology advanced over the last 10 years to be applied to treating a pandemic?
10 years ago, we did not have interconnected systems with the federal, state, and local governments, emergency management, to be talking to each other and to be sharing situational awareness on a regular basis. And now we have cloud-based tools for communication, for inventory management, and just overall better management of response and recovery issues.
So if you give me an example of how that plays out, how the health department, for example, is more prepared to deal with supplies and personnel, that sort of thing.
We have, through the CDC, they have a system called IMATS. That's for inventory management. CDC has it for their stockpile. IDPH has it for theirs. We have it for our own. And so instantly, all levels of government are able to see how much is available. And there's also at the hospital level that for the state, they have ways to check in with the hospitals and know bed counts, availability of airborne respiratory rooms. And it's enhanced our situational awareness.
As we continue on Sound Ideas, I'm Eric Stock with Kathy Coverston Anderson, who is Assistant Director at the McLean County Health Department, as we are reviewing the response to pandemics and potential pandemics that we've had in this country, the differences between COVID-19 and previous pandemics for MERS, SARS, H1N1, et cetera. Are there any lessons learned from 2009, ways that we learned could have been done better or should have been done better that are being implemented now in 2020?
I think a key lesson learned was the importance of communication. And it just knowing how often, how important it is to communicate with the public and our stakeholders and continually to direct them to places online where they can get accurate and timely information, such as the CDC's website, WHO, IDPH, which is the Illinois Department of Public Health, and McLean County Health Department.
How do you balance the need to get as much information out there as possible, to have a public as informed as possible, and not go to the point where people fear or where people believe it's fear-mongering or it's too much information, you're scaring people before it's necessary?
I think a great tool that we have is all the guidance documents and information that the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, has on their website at cdc.gov. It's updated regularly. You can get case counts. You can get guidance, whether you're a child care provider or law enforcement, a hospital, healthcare system. There's long-term care facilities. There's all sorts of guidance that's there, and that if it's updated, they show that on their website. It's wonderful to have this library of information, and I think having access to that can calm some fears, and instead of having people get worried, you can get prepared, and that is a key message, I think, that we need to convey.
And we've talked about the more recent pandemics, but we've not discussed one of the worst in our history. Back in 1918, the flu pandemic there, the CDC says 50 million people died from the virus. About a third of the global population had contracted the virus. Now, that seems like ancient history, but we are a more global community today. Could an outbreak like that ever happen again?
We will certainly continue to see global outbreaks of disease. We are travelers. We are interconnected across the globe. So these emerging infectious diseases will continue to come to our territory, and we will need to be ready to respond and take appropriate action.
So if a case was confirmed in McLean County, for example, what would the response be from the health department? Would schools close? Would public facilities close? What would the response be?
All of our responses would be done in conjunction with discussions with the Illinois Department of Public Health, and if a case was confirmed here, certainly the CDC, that all those are the decisions are informed by the guidance and by the information that we get from IDPH and the CDC.
Would we all need to wear masks? And where would we get them?
Right. Please do not go buying face masks. They are meant to have for people who are currently showing symptoms of any respiratory disease. They put those on so that they are not coughing and sneezing directly on healthy people. So the face masks should be reserved for those purposes and for healthcare settings.
Is there concern, since the symptoms for coronavirus are so similar to those of the seasonal flu, that some are being misdiagnosed and that the numbers are being underreported?
If you have symptoms, we encourage people to go to their healthcare provider and not to actually walk in, but to contact the healthcare provider first, tell them the symptoms, and get direction from the healthcare provider. Testing is available, so testing can be done. That gets authorized currently through the local health departments, and then the test gets sent to the state lab.
That's Kathy Coverston Anderson from the McLean County Health Department with Eric Stock. She says another lesson learned from the H1N1 response: make sure healthcare workers are among the first to get the vaccine when it becomes available so they can take care of others.